And I saw a face that was peering out the glass. I could not make out any distinctive features, but it was a face.
Welcome to Tell Me a Ghost Story, the late night call-in podcast where we delve into the world of the supernatural and explore the eerie and unexplained. I'm your host, Michelle Newman. This podcast features true stories from our callers that will send shivers down your spine and leave you questioning the existence of the afterlife. So grab a cozy blanket, turn down the lights.
Hey, this is Greg from Los Angeles, California. So last summer I was in London on vacation, on holiday, as the Brits would say. I was visiting Soho House Dean Street. So it's in Soho. It's a very old building, like, you know, every building in London or England. It has a definite sort of haunted feeling to it. And I had been feeling really weird that whole night. At one point, these two girls, they came up to sit at the table I was sitting at to smoke, which kind of bothered me because I don't smoke. But I didn't say anything to them about it. But I did think it was kind of strange that these two people just decided to sort of sit right next to me and do that at the table. And I was like, huh, I don't know. But my vibe was a little off. So I hung out for a little while, ate a meal, you know, had a glass of wine, just one. And when it was time to head out back to the hotel, my husband and I, we decided to explore one of the floors, you know, when we were going downstairs. And the entire floor was like a dining room area. And the entire floor was empty. No one was there for some reason, even though the entire Soho House was very busy. No one was on this floor, but we were sort of exploring and checking it out. And we would turn the corner, like every time we turned the corner, I kept feeling like someone was there. And we turned the corner and no one was there. And I had this weird feeling in my stomach, like maybe I shouldn't be here. Like I was going to get in trouble or something, even though it's a common area. So I don't know. I was just feeling kind of strange. But when it was finally time to leave, we went out to the stairs. And as we started walking down the stairs, I caught something out of the corner of my eye back on that floor. It looked like shoes. So I turned back around thinking I'm finally going to see the person that's sort of been around the corner evading me the whole time. I turn around and at that exact moment, my feet flew out from under me and it was as if I had been yanked. And both of my legs went up into the air. My husband said I was fully horizontal for like a second, and then I dropped down. It was almost comical how my legs flew out. It was like I had stepped on a banana peel in some cartoon. And it was completely like I know how to walk, and I had had one glass of wine. I knew it wasn't my legs. I sort of instantly knew that something weird was going on. And instead of, you know, being scared by that, I actually thought it was kind of funny. It was as if like the ghost was sort of like, if it was a ghost, I think it was a ghost because I'm seeing shoes behind me and all of a sudden I'm feeling like my legs are being yanked in front of me. Something did that, even though I couldn't see it. So I got the impression that the ghost was sort of playing with me. It was like, I've been dead for like hundreds of years or however old this building is. Like, you can enjoy your night and your vacation. Another weird thing, I did have like a giant bruise on my butt for the entire rest of the trip. And it weirdly went away completely on the flight back to California. And it felt sort of very symbolic, like a reminder throughout the trip to have some fun and to also come back and visit the Soho House in London again soon to see my friend in the stairway.
Thank you, Greg, for your story.
My name is Phil. I'm from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And what I'm about to tell you happened in Rome, Georgia, I'm a contractor, and I take care of and manage foreclosed, vacant, and abandoned properties. In this particular property in Rome, I was sent a work order to go there and do a regular first-time visit. And when I got there, I found out from the neighbors that the house was a had been a funeral home and it hadn't been lived in or used in over 5 years. So, and it was a two-story red brick, very, very ominous, just creepy look. Once you find out it's a funeral home, it just makes it more creepier. Well, anyway, we go in and we do all we're supposed to do. Then I find a set of stairs that'll take me down to the basement. And down in the basement's where everything is done, where the bodies are embalmed, prepped, and everything else. All the equipment was still there. And there was a room off to itself. And inside that room, there was some stuff that you would typically find in a funeral home. That's chairs, tents. But there was also two coffins. So I called the mortgage company and said, hey, I have two coffins in this place. What do you want me to do with them? And they said, take them to the landfill. We don't want them. Okay, cool. So I got them out, and I was about to have the guy store it on a trailer when one of them said, hey, my uncle has a big spook house in Chattanooga, and he would love to have these two coffins. I said, well, call him. I need them out of here today. He called him. His uncle came, picked them up, and took them back to Chattanooga. And the spook house opened a month later, and I get a call from him, and he says, where did you get these? I mean, were these coffins in there for the whole time? I said, I don't know. They were in there when we went there. He said, I'm having some issues with these things. I cannot get any of my actors to go into these coffins. I said, well, you know, they are coffins. It's really not normal for a living person to want to go in a coffin. Kind of claustrophobic and just kind of weird on top of that. And so I went to the property again, another trip, and there was a gentleman that came walking up, and he was about 5'10", 6 feet, slender build, and he had a fedora on, and he was asking my name and everything, so I told him, introduced myself, and he began to tell me that he had worked at that funeral home about 10 years earlier, and he was probably in his 70s. And I began to talk to him about the place. I said, what about those two caskets in the basement? What's that all about? And he said that those two caskets were used if people were going to be cremated. They would put the bodies in those caskets. They would have a normal memorial for people who were going to be cremated. And what they would do, they'd place the body in there, take it to the room it was going to be in, and after the service they'd close the lid and they would put the coffin in an elevator, lower it to the basement, remove the body and put it into a cardboard box to be sent off to be cremated. And these two caskets were used over and over and over and over again. And the guy from the spook house who came to pick them up to use them in his spook house, he had complaints that his actors would not get in them, and that there was crazy things moving around, doors slamming, stuff falling in that space. That one or two of his actors said it's got to be that coffin. So I relayed that information to him, and all of a sudden it made him excited because now he had two coffins that somehow or another had something attached to it. And they were in his spook house. And that's my story.
Thank you for your story, Phil from Chattanooga. You really put that haunted in haunted house. Next message.
So my name is Rachel, and I currently live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. When I first started to experience paranormal things, I was about 4 years old, and my family lived in South Point, Ohio. My brother said that our great-grandma actually appeared at his window one night, and this was after she had passed away. And I've always wondered if it was actually our great-grandma, or since the activity in this home appear to be more demonic? Was it a demon portraying themselves as our great grandma? I definitely feel like something has attached itself to me and has never left me, because 30 years later, I still have paranormal experiences happen to me, and I can almost get like a vision of who it is, and it's always the same person. When I think about it, they appear in my mind, or if something happens, this person appears in my mind. I have had a lot of experiences with sleep paralysis. My first episode of sleep paralysis, I remember being so freaked out that after it happened, I texted my mom. And by this time, I'm probably about 32. Was when the first time I had my first episode of sleep paralysis. And when I realized what happened to me, I have a makeup vanity that sits right next to my bed. And once I could finally move my body, I turned over, and on my makeup vanity, there were these three long scratches that were never there. So I texted my mom, told her what happened. She came over, and when I was describing what happened, it's like her face went blank, and I stopped talking, and I asked her what was wrong, what was going on, and she said that the wall behind me was turning black, and it was almost like a portal was opening up as I was talking about my experience. So I quickly ended the conversation, and I never spoke about it again. Throughout the years, I've had a few more episodes of sleep paralysis. The last one happening about 3 weeks ago. This was probably the shortest episode, but maybe the scariest. I actually woke up and what sounded like something very demonic was whispering into my ear. And I don't want to repeat back what it said to me. I'm afraid if I do, maybe I will intrigue it even more.
Thank you, Rachel, for your story.
Hi, I'm Cindy, and I'm calling from Avon, Indiana. I have a true ghost story to tell you. I'm haunted by the little girl from Mitchell, Indiana, Whispers Estate, Rachel. She burned to death in a Christmas fire, and she haunts me because I gave her two setfuls of toys 2 years ago at Christmas, but she has followed me home and haunted me ever since. And I've had two ghost stories on YouTube about her and about her antics. I had a ghost investigation on my birthday. I retired from Indiana State Police after 30 years civilian, and she haunted me at my birthday party, and we did capture some EVPs from Commonwealth, Kentucky, of Indiana, investigated, and Rachel has proven to be true. Plus, we got some other alien entities I'd like to tell you about. She possesses a haunted doll of mine, and she haunts me to this day. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, Cindy. I'm sure I speak for our fellow callers. We want to hear all your stories. Next message.
My name is Phil from Chattanooga, Tennessee. About 5 years ago, I purchased a property just across the state line in Georgia. The property had three houses on it, and these were identical, and they were about 20 feet apart. Two of the properties were livable and had tenants in them, and the property and the house in the middle had no tenant, and it was not livable. And the two guys that were working there, living there, I ended up hiring them to work for me. And it wasn't long after, maybe 6 months after I'd bought the property, that one of the guys was murdered in the driveway. He was beaten to death with a hammer. And then, you know, a few months later, the other guy that lived in there, he moved in his girlfriend, and he moved in his girlfriend's adult son. It wasn't long after the adult son moved in that he died on the property from an overdose of fentanyl. And then not long after that, the leaseholder's girlfriend, she had a stroke, and she laid in the house for several hours and ended up with some permanent disabilities. And not long after that, 30 days after that approximately, the leaseholder, he had to go to the hospital, and he was told that he had 6 weeks to live. He lasted three, so he died at the property. And by that time, I think, wow, this thing, there must be cursed or something. And all the tenants that ever lived there, they told me that they could see somebody and hear somebody in the empty house in the middle. And I just happened to be at the house one day, and the gentleman next door that lived across the street, rather, and he motioned me to come over, and he was telling me about the house, and I was, you know, telling him what happened. I told him, is the house cursed or something? And he told me that there had been a lot more than the people that I knew had died in that property. And then I mentioned, hey, how come, I mean, it's not a very good neighborhood. It's never been vandalized. So that's why I've kind of liked the property. And the old man said, well, not anyone in this neighborhood will dare set foot in that property. So I decided to sell it. And I told the guy who bought it, he was an investor. He was going to demo the three and put a duplex there. And I gave him the info of all the issues I had with it, and he told me he didn't believe in that hocus pocus. And he bought the property, and I met him out there one evening to finalize the paperwork. And just after dark, I was sitting in the driveway, and I was waiting for him to show up, and I was looking at the house in the middle that was always empty, and I saw a face that was peering out the glass. I could not make out any distinctive features, but it was a face. And a few minutes later, he shows up, he signs the paperwork, we shake hands, and 2 months later, he had a medical emergency, and he ended up with permanent disabilities himself. At this point, when I've been by that property, it still looks like it did 5 years ago. He never touched it. He still owns it. And I'm not sure if he's ever going to touch it. But the absolute truth is the place is haunted and maybe cursed.
Thank you for calling in, Phil from Chattanooga. You did that guy a solid by warning him about all that hocus pocus. I did some research, and there's no death disclosure requirement in real estate in Georgia. But maybe there should be some sort of regulation for curses. Next message.
Hi, my name is Lauren. I've actually called in before, regarding another incident that I had seen, but I didn't even think about this particular incident that I'm going to talk about that happened whenever I was actually freshly out of high school. A friend of mine, she had this apartment, and it was in Round Rock, Texas. I'd stayed over at this apartment with her numerous times. No issues, nothing had ever happened, nothing even remotely spooky, ever. And then she also lived in this apartment with another couple. It was her, and then it was a couple, a guy and a girl, and they occupied the other bedroom in this apartment. And unfortunately, during the duration of time that they lived together, the older brother of the male roommate had passed away suddenly in a drowning incident where he was trying to save somebody else that was, I guess, drowning in a body of water, and then he himself actually drowned. And so this guy, he ended up going to the funeral, and whenever he came back from the funeral, he had brought some of his brother's like sentimental belongings, a few of them, back with him to their apartment, the shared apartment in Round Rock. And a few nights after that was my friend, she had like a birthday celebration because it was her birthday, and we had all gone out, the roommates, my friend, myself, and my younger sister, we'd all gone out to eat. And then we came back to the apartment, and, you know, it was already late, and so everybody was going to sleep and all that. And so my friend went to her room, and the couple roommate, they went to their room, and then my sister and I slept in the living room. And I passed out first, out of my sister and I. And this is before my sister could drive or anything. And so I remember I woke up the next morning, and my sister was gone. And I was like, what the heck? So I looked at my phone, and my mom had sent me a text message saying that she had come to get my sister early that morning. Didn't really go into detail as to why, just saying that she, you know, my sister wanted to leave. And so I didn't really ask any questions. I just kind of assumed maybe she got bored. She was, you know, couldn't sleep or whatever. And I believe it was my mom that was telling me that my sister called her like really early in the morning, I want to say, that following morning after the birthday, stating that she was so scared because, like, she heard somebody in the kitchen. Nobody was awake, but she swore that she heard somebody in the kitchen, like, rustling around, opening and closing doors, pulling up, whatever, rustling around, and she freaked out. She freaked out, and she asked my mom to get her, and my mom came and got her and took her home, and that was that. And she's never mentioned it to me again since, but my mom still remembers the incident, and I thought that was crazy. And then shortly thereafterwards, right, because that incident happened, and I put it out of my mind. And then afterwards, my friend, she started telling me about how they started having these incidents where every single kitchen cabinet in their kitchen would be open, like randomly. Nobody would be in the apartment. Everybody would have been at work, whatever. Everybody was asleep, whatever the case may be. And then it would wake up or come back home, and every single kitchen cabinet would be open, including the ones that were way high at the top that nobody could reach. Ironically, like, there was one day in particular that my friend and I, we were hanging out, her roommates were at work, and I don't know, we got tired, so we ended up going to her room, and I fell asleep on her futon, and she fell asleep in her bed in her room with the door shut, nobody else in the apartment, deadbolts, you know, nobody was in the apartment other than us. And when we woke up, I remember we were like, woke up, and we, like, obviously went out into the apartment. And when we looked in the kitchen, I saw for myself every single cabinet, every drawer pulled out open in the kitchen. And neither one of us had been out there. Nobody had come into the apartment or anything. But it was pretty weird how, like, after that brother's stuff had been brought in, how all that stuff started to happen in the apartment. So we never really found out an answer for that. And, like, to this day, I have no idea what that was, or you know. And also, too, side note, my sister didn't know anything about the brother's stuff being brought into the apartment prior to her having that incident in the kitchen, or hearing somebody in the kitchen while everyone was asleep. So she had no bias in her mind or whatever that may have scared her. So it was pretty weird.
Thank you, Lauren, for your story. This is getting added to the What is Going On in Texas file. That's all we have this week, folks. Do you have a ghost story? Call 701-484-2666. That's 701-484-2666. Or go to tellmeaghoststory.com and leave your story there. Go ahead and leave me a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Was something particularly scary in this episode? Or maybe you've had a similar experience? Leave your comments via our Spotify page. Thank you to all the callers who left messages this week. And as always, I'm your host, Michelle Newman, signing off. See you next week.